The Bible played a major role in the founding of America and in American history, and there's a museum that's coming up soon, not to be confused with the Museum of the Bible, which is in Washington, D.C., but this new one that is up and coming, produced by the American Bible Society, will be in Philadelphia. Welcome to this portion of Focal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our guest is Alan Crippen, who is involved with that new up-and-coming museum. It's a part of the American Bible Society, and their website is faithandliberty.org. Alan, thank you for joining us on the program.
Thank you, Jerry. It's a pleasure to be with you this afternoon.
Sure. Go ahead and give us an overview about this upcoming museum, and then we can maybe talk about some of the specifics about the Bible playing a critical role in America's founding and its in its history.
Sure, I'd be glad to. First of all, let me say that the parent company, American Bible Society, is a venerable American institution. It's been around for 203 years. In fact, it was founded by founders of the American Republic, including Elias Boudinot, who was president of the Continental Congress. John Jay was our first Supreme Court justice. Its early leadership included President John Quincy Adams and the author of the Star-Spangled Banner, Francis Scott Key, Chief Justice Marshall. The list goes on and on. It's really unbelievable.
Wow.
And I think, you know, in their view, they had been involved or in the Revolution or the early Republic. All of them knew that a republic is sustained by a virtue. And in their minds, the source of virtue was the Bible. So American Bible Society has in its can I say blood and sinew, this sort of civic vision. The Bible Society is a religious vision. It's very concerned about getting the gospel out around the world and the heart language of the people. But it also understands that, you know, this civic vision is also part of its founding. And we were headquartered in New York City for 199 years. 4 years ago, we moved our international headquarters to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania,
from
New York City.
Okay,
where we've been for, you know, two centuries, and so you know, amazing move when you leave a city that you've been at for nearly 200 years and pull up stakes and relocate. So we really relocated to Philadelphia, and we are right on Independence Mall on the east side of the mall. We're sandwiched between the National Constitution Center and Independence Hall with a Liberty Bell just kind of catacorner across the street. So amazing piece of real estate. That then pressed the question, what do we do for the Bible, for Bible advocacy in America? And the answer was, why don't we build out a Faith and Liberty Discovery Center that will tell the story of the Bible's influence in the American experience from its from the founding of America right down to the present day. So in this way, we can make a case for the Bible as a, can I say, third document. You know, we know about the Declaration of Independence, we know about the Constitution, but there's another document that is equally vital, maybe arguably more vital, maybe the document that created the cultural milieu necessary to sustain the institutions of Republican government. Of course, that document is the Bible. So we want to bring that presence to Independence Mall.
Hmm. Good. You know, it's interesting. I pulled up this article about this new building coming up, and it's interesting. The article quotes different people who don't agree with the idea that the Bible impacted America and so forth, including the great-grandson of President Theodore Roosevelt, but I beg to differ. I've done a lot of research on this, and I would refer people, anybody, to Volumes 1, 2, and 3 of The Annals of America, which is a set of encyclopedias that Encyclopedia Britannica put together in the 1970s. Volumes 1, 2, and 3, it's about a 20-set volume, but 1, 2, and 3 deal with the settling era and the founding era of America. And you can see that the Bible did play a very critical role in this. I mean, for example, the very first example of a constitution, if you will, on American soil was the Mayflower Compact. And it was certainly inspired by the biblical idea of covenant. And they even said, we're doing this for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith. It's right there, black and white. And that was 400 years ago. Why don't you tell us about the Bible and the founding and settling of America and its history beyond the founding?
Certainly, Jerry. Thanks. It's a great segue. As you've astutely pointed out, that the Mayflower Compact this coming November will be 400 years old. And that, in fact, is the date for the opening of the Faith and Liberty Discovery Center.
Oh, great.
In Philadelphia. We hope to be in business by Thanksgiving of 2020 with the full cognizance of that, of that anniversary. So we're coming in 2020, and I think we're bringing a forgotten narrative that unites U.S. history with the story of Philadelphia. You know, why this sort of reaction, why are you responding to President Roosevelt's great-grandson, I think you said?
Yeah, great-great-grandson, you know, yeah.
Ours is a secular society. Ours, again, it's a forgotten narrative. People just, they don't know the Bible anymore. You know, I would describe our country as it's a sort of postmodern, it's post-Christian, it's post-literate. It's not that we can't read, it's we don't read. And there is... there's sadly a forgotten narrative. How many people know, for instance, that the Liberty Bell, this great icon of American freedom, actually has a Bible verse on it from the book of Leviticus?
So
it's kind of hard to dispute that the Bible wasn't present at the founding. So we're bringing this forgotten narrative back to Philadelphia, back to the nation, back here in this amazing piece of national real estate on Independence Mall, where the very nation was born. And then the other point I want to make is that this is not your grandfather's museum. That, you know, we're not even nomenclaturing it as a museum. It's a discovery center. So we are employing highly interactive and immersive technologies to tell the story. We're focusing on key values that unite us. Each gallery, there are six galleries. Each gallery is built around an American value. Those values being faith and liberty, justice, hope, unity, love. So with these values, we're also introducing an important cutting-edge technology called the Inspiration Lamp, or this gathering technology, where each visitor will be able to, when they register, they'll be issued this lamp. The lamp will then be used as a gathering instrument so that when you go through the museum, the Discovery Center, the Faith and Liberty Discovery Center, you can gather all the information that interests you. So if you're going through the Faith Gallery and you have heard this story about the Liberty Bell and you want to know more about the Liberty Bell, you touch a bullseye on the screen, it downloads all that information, images, quotes, historical references, and customizes those on a personal portal that you can access at home on your desktop or anywhere on your laptop or on your cell phone. So in some way, you can take the content of the museum home with you in a way that you couldn't before.
Yeah. And it's interesting to think about this. How far is this museum from Independence Hall? Pretty close, right?
Just a few yards.
Wow.
All right.
This professor says, I don't think the U.S. Constitution reflects Christian ideals or doctrine. The Bible's not useful to interpret the Constitution. Okay, again, that's Kermit Roosevelt, a professor at the University of Pennsylvania Law School, as well as the great-great-grandson of President Theodore Roosevelt. I don't think he's done his homework. For example, on June 28, 1787, during the Constitutional Convention, one of the least religious of the founding fathers, Benjamin Franklin, got up and gave an impassioned speech in which he said, basically, we need to pray. And a variation of his request for the founding fathers to pray was adopted. They all, that is to say, they didn't vote on it directly or not directly, but they did go a couple days later to a local church service and they prayed together, a local Lutheran church to be exact. But in that speech, Ben Franklin alludes to different scriptural references, like if a sparrow cannot fall without God's knowledge, you know, how can we hope to, you know, build an empire without his aid? He said that, you know, unless the Lord builds a house, those that labor in vain. That comes from Psalm 127. And he was quoting scripture, and the founders, as Donald Lutz, a great scholar from the University of Houston, as he put it once, he said, the founding fathers knew the Bible down to their fingertips. I mean, they were educated in all this stuff. All the schools taught this stuff. Harvard, Yale, Dartmouth, Princeton. They were all founded by Christians for Christian purposes. And that's where the founding fathers, those that had a good education, that's where they went, to those schools where they learned about the Bible.
Yeah, the Bible knowledge was ubiquitous. At the time of the founding may arguably have been the highest time of biblical literacy. And you're right, Benjamin Franklin, arguably one of the most secular of the American founders, was well acquainted with his Bible, read his Bible, knew the stories frontwards and backwards, probably in ways that would embarrass most of us. And, you know, those allusions from his speech before the Constitutional Convention are pretty powerful. And of course, referenced even the Tower of Babel as well.
Yeah.
This was the culture in which they lived. The Bible was a source of wisdom. It was a source of inspiration. It was a source of moral teaching, moral science. Arguably, there's a lot of scholarship now of political science, what's called political Hebraism. There's a particular substantial academic discipline within Jewish thought that makes the argument that the early Hebrew Republic was organized as such. It was organized as a republic. And even, again, another super secularist near atheist like Tom Paine, when he wrote Common Sense, alluded to the warnings, right, the warnings in Samuel against a king. And he held up the idea that the ideal government, this is Paine's argument, that the ideal government is a republic, and he would cite the Bible in that regard because he knew Americans were a Bible-reading people, that the Bible had a cultural and moral authority. So,
If I could just interject here, Paine wrote Common Sense in 1776, so that's when it was published, but his book about, I forgot the name of it, The Reason, the one, 1790.
Age of Reason.
Okay, The Age of Reason, 1793. This is several years later, after exposure to a lot of the unbelief in France and so forth. I think he shifted over in his thinking because there are some positive statements in Common Sense, about, not only about the Bible in terms of using it for his argument, but even things along the lines of, who is the king in America? I'll tell you, it's the Word of God, or, something like that. I mean, it's very faith filled. So I think he personally kind of lost his faith, just like Jefferson went through later periods of doubt, even though earlier he, was a believing Christian, and even helped found a church called the Calvinistical Reformed Church of Charlottesville in 1777.
You may be right about Paine. I'd read that he'd started out as a Methodist preacher in England. So he's certainly on a trajectory, I guess, a trajectory, sadly, of unbelief. By the way, our founder, Elias Boudinot, who I mentioned earlier, and was president of the Continental Congress from 1782 to 1783, was quite vexed by Paine's book, The Age of Reason, and wrote a response to it called The Age of Revelation. So he wanted to respond to Paine's work because he thought, again, Paine's book, The Age of Reason, was sowing a seed of atheism and disbelief that would affect primarily his own daughter. So he dedicates this book, The Age of Revelation, Revelation being the Word of God, to his daughter.
Okay, we have 45 seconds left to wrap up. And I just want to say briefly, you can see the Bible's influence in later periods of America, like, for example, with the McGuffey readers, the professor that taught at Thomas Jefferson's school, the University of Virginia. You can also see Abraham Lincoln's writings are filled with scriptural references, and a house divided against itself comes right from Jesus. How about a closing thought, 15 seconds on this new museum?
Well, go even further. Martin Luther King Jr. and the Civil Rights Movement. Imagine that without the Bible.
Yeah.
We'd love to have your listeners visit us. It's www.faithandliberty.org. We're opening in 2020, and we'll look forward to seeing you there.
Okay. Thank you so much, Alan. All the best to you.
Thank you, Jerry.